So this is Shemas chapter 36. We need to start a tiny bit before the beginning of this chapter, specifically because, as my friend taught me today, this chapter beginning is entirely confused. It seems to have made a simple mistake, whoever organized the chapters here. In order to explain, let's go back a little bit all the way to the beginning of the previous chapter, chapter 35, which is the beginning of Parshas Vayakhel also, and obviously the beginning of this part of the story of building the Mishkan. So, the first step was, Moshe got together all the people and told them the mitzvah of the Mishkan. We're skipping the in connection of Shabbos. He told them the mitzvah of the Mishkan. What is specifically they told them? He told them that they should all bring their donations of the materials needed for the Mishkan, the gold, the silver, and so on, the whole long list. Second thing he told them was that they need people to volunteer, chachmei lev, which means something like artists or artisans, to come and create all the parts of the Mishkan, and he gives them a list of the parts of the Mishkan and the kelim, the vessels of the Mishkan. That concludes Moshe's speech, and they all leave. Then we have the part where they actually come and bring all of the donations to the Mishkan, and we have a long list, even more detailed in some sense, of who brings what. Everyone bringing their parts for the Mishkan. So that corresponds to the first part of Moshe's speech where he asked everyone for donations and they're getting the donations. Now comes the part corresponding to the second part of his speech, of his donation drive, so to speak, where he asked them for donation of labor. We could say there's donation of material and donation of labor. And now something changes. Instead of just having a list of who came, we actually get a description, and we really, both of these things really correspond to what Hashem already told them, and we already saw the choice of Bezalel earlier in Parshas Kisiso when Hashem was speaking to him. But anyways, now what we have is, when we come to the part of having who is going to do the work, we have actually a choice. It says God called the name, Hashem called the name Bezalel, and then also Aliyev, who will be in charge of the actual creating, for the actual work of making the Mishkan and all of its vessels and all of its parts. So that's the second part, and that's another speech. It's presented in two parts. First part is a speech of Moshe to the people. Moshe tells the people, look, read, see, God has called in the name of Bezalel and given him wisdom, filled him with the Spirit of God, which is wisdom, as we read in the week's parasha last week, the story of Yosef, or previous weeks. The Spirit of God here means wisdom or a certain innate talent, which they have. And gave him also a talent of teaching. God gave him a talent to teach. So in other words, he will be in charge of all the other people who came to volunteer to do all the work. Him and Aliyev, and it gives a list of the long description of all kinds of arts that they know well. And the Tzal and Aliyev, and along with everyone else, Kol Ish Chacham Lev, every wise man, wise of heart, which again means here wise in the sense of practical art, they know how to do these arts, God gave them the wisdom to do this, they will do all these things. So that concludes Moshe's speech to the people, and it's important that they know that God chose Bezalel, they shouldn't maybe be jealous, they should follow his instructions, and so on. And this is precisely where this chapter starts. In the end of this part, in the end of Moshe's drasha to Bezalel, and the language is, it says, It seems like, and this is where chapter 36 started, it seems like to whoever caught up the chapters here thought that this is really a new part of the story, because if you read, follow the way that he cuts up the chapters, he tries to cut them into logical parts of the story. So we have the part of the command part, the mitzvah, Moshe told the people, and then the next part of the story really is how they're actually doing it, and we have a long description of doing each part, right? First the Mishkan, the curtains, the areas of the Mishkan, and then the vessels of the Mishkan, and then the parts of the Bigdekana. You get a long list, long description of each part doing it. And he seems to have started, this chapter started with this V'osa Bezalel, because he thought that this is the beginning of Bezalel doing creating, also doesn't mean doing here, right? It means creating all of these things. The truth is, though, that this is just still part of Moshe telling the people that he will do. So for us, it's not saying, and he did, it's saying, and he will do, or he should do, or of these things, it's a future, or a command, or just telling you what's in the future, what will happen. as it's obvious from the context. And also, anyone that knows diktok knows devosa means and he should do or and he will do, not and he did. So that just seems to be a mistake. That's why, in order to start this chapter, we have to start a little earlier. Then the next part we have, the next, second part of this, is that Moshe speaks to Bezalel and Eliav and the people who have come and volunteered to do the work themselves. So first he spoke to the rest of the people, the Bnei Yisrael, Adas Bnei Yisrael. It seems to be important also in this story that he gathered all the people. By the way, if you want to compare it to the story of the Egel, where there's also a similar story or corresponding story of the soliciting donations and then receiving them, it's very clear over there that it's not all the people. There isn't like Adas Bnei Yisrael doing it. Here there's an explicit emphasis on Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael did it. So therefore, they all seem to have to know at least about the appointment of Bezalel, maybe even have to consent to it in some sense. And now he calls Bezalel and Eliav himself and the people that are going to work along with them to start doing the work, to actually do the work. And what are the first thing these people do? First thing they do is they actually take all the materials that were donated. Now, as they're taking it, people are still bringing more. And this becomes the first act that Bezalel seems to do. The first act that he does is not the actual creation of the Mishkan, but the cessation of the bringing the donations. So each wise person, each chacham comes for each person in charge of his part, of his art that he knows, and seems like we should imagine they check, you know, how much gold we need, how much silver we need, how much materials we need, and so on. And they come to Moshe and they say, the people are bringing too much. They're bringing more than what is needed for the work that God has commanded. We know, right? They got the plans. They got all the detailed plans. Although we don't yet have the detailed plans, we read them in Parshas Terumah, Tetzaveh, the detailed plans, and then we're going to read them in some sense again when they're being done. But we have to assume that in between, Moshe read this to the people, the artisans in charge, and therefore they knew how much they need. And they came and they told Moshe, we're receiving more donations than needed according to the plans. And therefore Moshe commands them to proclaim. So send out a proclamation called Vayaviru Kol Bamachana. That's interesting. We had the Koil also in the story of the Egel and other places. But here, just the simple meaning is just an idiom for announcing something, like literally making a voice go around or go over in the camp. But it just means they sent around messengers with announcements saying no man or woman should bring more for the donations. And they actually stopped, and there was enough for everything and even more than enough. And of course, later we get an accounting of what they did with everything. So what happened with this more than enough? We could imagine that we need always more than enough. You know, some parts are not working out. You need to fix it and so on. So that's the end of this first part of the story, the first part of Har Sviakel. This is really where if the person cutting up the chapters would have been smart, as I did actually in my book, you see that here starts a new part of the story, which is the actual Asiyas HaMishkan, the creation of the Mishkan until now, the story of the gathering, of the bringing the donations and, you know, getting together both the materials and the people. And here starts the actual creation of the Mishkan. Now, for the actual creation of the Mishkan, as we said, it goes through at great length, or at exactly the precise amount of length, we should say, all the parts of the Mishkan, and describes them, have done all of it. And in a major sense, this is entirely a repetition of what we learned in Parshas Terumah and then later in Parshas Tetzaveh, of the measurements, the exact amounts, the exact materials, how it was done. There isn't any, almost any at least, any more details. It's not like when we get I would have written it in the way that, you know, it tells you the plans and now you get some implementation details. You don't actually get any implementation details, or maybe one or two. I haven't right now put in the time to do a clear comparison, but it seems to me, and Rashi also more or less assumed, Rashi says over here that he's not going to do a lot of interpretation because he explained everything how it's going to be already in the previous. There are some differences, some languages change, but more or less it's the same structure in the same information. What we have is the actual happening of it. And of course, this is one of the questions on the structure of this book, why we have this very lengthy description of everything. It seems like just a story. Just like when we read a story, it's nice to say, you know, like, for example, we read the story of the Mabel. You know, God has telling you that there's going to be a Mabel and maybe even giving some details, and then this actually happened. So in a very similar way here, there's the whole drama of him telling him and then it actually happening. And for us, maybe we don't care so much about how many inches there was in each thing, but that is actually the story that this Torah is trying to tell us, and therefore it tells it to us. But I will also go more or less like Rashi did today and just talk about what it says and not get into details of how it was and so on. So the first part, and of course this is a different order than we had in Parshas Terumah. Famously, Rashi explains that the Bezalel changed the order because in Parshas Truma. And we could explain this also in a practical sense, right? In some sense, the most important part of the Mishkan, the most holy part, we could say, the central part, is actually the Kelim. We start with the Uran, where the Shekhinah is, and then the other Kelim, and so on. And therefore, that's the order in Parshas Truma. But actually, to make it, you don't start with that. You would start with the external part. You have to build the building and paint it and do all the things about it. So the order of Parshas Vayakal, the order over here, is the order from the outside in instead of the order from the inside out, which we had before. So the first part, the first important part which we have, is what's called the Mishkan. And it's interesting that this is what the Pesach called the Mishkan. I don't really know why. Mishkan itself is called the Iriyos, the fabrics, and describing exactly which four fabrics it was made out of and what kind of design it was made out of, something called Keruvim, Masei Choshev. And this is what we call Mishkan. I'm not entirely sure why. Mishkan seems to just mean literally a dwelling. But maybe in some sense this is like imagining like a certain tent dwelling where the main part of the tent is sort of the fabric, the tent, the part of the tent that is making most of the protection. And it gives us the exact measurements of it. It was 20, the first Yiriyas, the first level, which we call Yiriyas HaMishkan, or that's what the Pusa calls it, are 28 Ames by 4 Ames. Now there are 10 of these, and therefore they go the other way. And there are also these hooks with loops and the end of each part. So five and five together, they get together with hooks. So together it's 10, connected with 50 hooks. This is the description of the Iriyas HaMishkan, the first level, that they made all of that. Then we have the second level, which is called Iriyas Izim, which is the oil of HaMishkan. So oil, a tent on the Mishkan. So again, we have this language, oil, of course, just the word that means tent. HaMishkan also means something just like tent or dwelling place. So apparently this is meant to be like some protection, and it's a little bigger, and it makes sense because it's going to be a protective layer for this. So apparently the lower layer is like more beautiful layer, like more delicate, and needs protection, which is these Iriyas Izim, which is a more coarse material, and it's protecting it. And there were more, so previously we had 10, now we have 11. Previously we had 28 Amos long, now we have 30 Amos long. Also by 4, because that doesn't change, but we have a whole 4 more, because there's one whole Yireh more. Therefore, instead of having them being two parts of 5 and 5, now there's two parts 5 and 6, and again connected with 50 loops. Earlier the loops were gold, now their loops are copper. Again, because this is at a higher level, this is not really about beauty, this is more about function or protection. And this is put on top. Then there's even a third layer called, or maybe a third and a fourth layer, depending on how you read this. And it's called michse l'oil, like a covering for the oil. So maybe like another layer of protection for rain or some, even more coarser materials made out of leather of reddened leather of eilim, and another one of techoshem. And then apparently these are, you could see how it's getting progressively more coarse material and more like protective. So from the more beautiful material that's on the inside, they get these higher levels of coarse materials outlined, and they did all of this. So that's the end of the fabrics of the Mishkan, called the Mishkan here. Then we have one more part called the Kreshim, the wooden parts which are holding up the fabric. And again, in all of this is more or less the same we had before. We have the description of the Kreshim, their size. Each one is 10 Amos high, or here it's called long, interestingly. I think that's why it says Atzei Shetim Oimdim, because they're standing up, but we describe them as if their length and their width instead of their height and their width, which is interesting. And anyways, they're 10 by 1.5. Each one has these yodos, some like hands that hold them, like literally hands, but like means like pegs or something. And they're going to be put into something called adonim, which we discussed, adonim made out of silver, so one for each yad. And how many of these? So there's double the amount of adonim as the amount of kreshim. There's 20 kreshim on each side, so 40 adonim on each side, the long sides. Then at the end, the west side, we have 6 and 2 more for the corners, so it's together 8 or 16 adonim. And then there is something called berichim, or some kind of beams, something that holds together. So these are a bunch of separate, right? 20, 28 and 48 separate adonim total. Sorry, 48 separate kreshim. Something has to hold them together. So these are the berichim. There's 5 for each side, so together 15, maybe even a 16th one for the middle, or maybe the middle one is one of those 5. Which connect all the kreshim, and this is, analogous to like the hooks that we had by the Iriyas. These are, the whole Mishkan is made like this, because it's portable, so there's these smaller parts, and then they get put together into one big thing in order to connect them all together. And we have also the description of how these kreshim, although they were gold, they were wood, they were covered in gold, and also their hooks or their rings in which the beams were put were also made out of gold. So that's the story of the main structure of the Mishkan, the fabrics and the beams, so to speak, kreshim that hold them. Now we need a door also. So we just talk about the, right? Because we discussed in this in the previous story, if you followed, we only had three sides, right? We talked about the right side, left side, and the back side, or the Tzofen, Durim, and Marev. We don't really have a front. So in the front, we have two things. We have, firstly, in the middle, we have the Pereches. The Pereches is going to go in the middle. It has also four beams to hold it. So the Pereches also made out of fabric, the same kind of fabric as the Mishkan itself, right? The Iriyas HaMishkan has four beams of wood and gold covered to hold it. And then there's also another Pereches, or called a Musach. Here, not called Pereches, but called Musach. Apparently, Pereches is a fancier word that means specifically something fancy or something like that. And the Musach is for the door, again, created out of those same fabric, but the beams holding it are not gold. Adonim holding it are not gold but copper. So the similar gradation we see. The internal one is entirely covered with gold. The external one, more external one, is covered with copper, although the hooks and the headers are covered with gold. So that's the story of the creation of the main structure of the Mishkan.